You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Oh yes, I can see it now. It's a helicopter. And it's coming this way.
A helicopter?
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner. And it says, Happy Thanksgiving. From WKRP. What a sight, ladies and gentlemen. What a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet into the air. Second, a third. There's no parachutes yet.
Those can't be skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're talking! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes. One just went through the windshield of a parked car. This is terrible. The car is running around pushing each other. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the humanity. Oh, people are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. See, folks, I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this any longer. No, I can't go in there.
Tragedy, has there been anything like this? I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd...
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Welcome to the Sports Kings from Queens, where all the sports talk is royal, real, straight from the boroughs. Today's Tuesday, November 25th. This is episode 206. Happy Thanksgiving to all. I'm Gino, here with Kevin and Darren. Please catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. Give us a look, join our pages. We want to hear from you. So if you got something to tell us, leave a comment for us. We'll get back to you. It's a condensed show. It's Thanksgiving week. We're going to get it going right away. So we're going to start. We had a trade in Major League Baseball this week. The New York Mets swapped beloved homegrown outfielder Brandon Nimmo to the Texas Rangers for infielder Marcus Semien. Semien's a three-time All-Star, two-time Gold Glove winner. Brandon Nimmo has spent the last 10 seasons with the Mets. He was in year three of an eight-year deal. Semien, he's got 3 years left on a seven-year deal, so a couple of years difference. Mets reported that there is $5 million to offset salary differences in the trade. Kev, what do you think of the trade?
From the Mets fan perspective, you hate it. Nimmo's one of your guys. Nimmo's a guy that you've seen go for a first-round pick, work his way up. I know, Gino, it doesn't matter to you, these homegrown guys. Sorry, you got to get the dig in there.
You want to win? No, you don't want to win is my problem, but go ahead.
But, you know, there's nothing at all that Nimmo did wrong. Nothing that Nimmo did embarrass the organization. He was a guy that always saw the smile, always hustled, always you felt like he gave everything he had. And you hate to see a guy like that leave. If you take away the fan perspective and look at it from a pure baseball perspective, you know, it sets you up for other trades because the one thing Stern said a couple weeks ago was he wants to focus on run prevention. Well, now you're picking up a Gold Glove second baseman for an outfielder who is quickly declining by all the stats. You know, when you look at outs above average and all these defensive runs saved and all these, you know, sabermetric type statistics, he's declining out there in left field, and he's going to be a DH pretty soon. You don't want to have Nimmo clogging up DH when you know you're going to need it for Soto in a few years. And if you re-sign Pete, you're going to have to use Pete at DH. So to me, in a vacuum, I don't like the trade, but let's see what else they do. If they get, if it frees up some more room for another outfielder, that's a good thing. I think you move Soto to left field where you hide his glove a little bit more. He's a little bit better left fielder than right fielder probably at this point. Everything you read, Benji's probably a better right fielder than center fielder if he comes up this year. I mean, no, we'll see what they do. I mean, there's got to be more than this. I mean, you don't like it first glance, but you've got to look in the entire offseason to determine how you like the trade.
I mean, you know, listen, you went out and got a 35-year-old second baseman.
Yeah.
Whose offensive stats have declined, as has Nimmo's. Streaky hitters to the umpteenth degree in a world that's become all streaky hitters. These guys are both the same. You know, again, the Gold Glove second baseman means that, okay, Beatty, Vientos, or you know, neither's going to play second. Someone's going to play third. Someone's going to DH or, you know, not be on this team, be part of a trade for another player. They have to get one, maybe even two outfielders on this team in order to solidify.
Include McNeil in that group. Include Acuna in that group.
McNeil's gone too, in my opinion, but maybe I'm wrong. I can't see them keeping him around.
I think McNeil is a super sub type. It's fine.
Yeah, he's an expensive super sub. If you can find someone to take the salary, I think you'd do it.
Yeah, but Steve Cohen's money.
Yeah, I get it. But Steve Cohen, I mean, you know, listen, you know, the Mets probably lost a little bit of money last year. I'm sure Steve doesn't like losing. He didn't make all his money by giving it away. Yeah. But at this, you're right. But this team that, you know, listen, it, like you said, Kev, if it's not the first step toward a bunch of other moves, then it's a bad move. If it's something that's out there to solidify this team going forward, apparently Semien's, you know, okay locker room guy. Nimmo was supposedly a good locker room guy. Then you hear things that he was upset he wasn't the captain. So you don't know what the story is over there. And he waived his no trade. And welcome to Texas for Mr. Nimmo. And welcome to Queens for Mr. Semien. And we'll see what the Mets do the rest of the way.
Yep.
If this is the beginning of other trades, I get it. If it isn't, I don't get it. Only because it just leaves him with too many infielders. Again, we're back to the too many infielder brigade. I have nothing to do with the homegrown talent. I personally don't care. It doesn't matter either way to me. I say this all the time. You're either a good player or you're not. If you're a good player, you're here. If you're not a good player, you're gone. And Kev, if you're a Mets fan and you care about winning, I don't even want to hear about Benji being an outfielder on your starting roster. You got Cohen. Go get another outfielder. Go get another outfielder. Bring Alonso back and make a damn run. Okay, bring a couple of pitchers in here. We say it all the time. Darren hates it, but you know why the Martian is not playing outfield for the Yankees? Because they want to win. And we don't want to play 80 games with a rookie. That's it.
I hate the Grisham signing for all those reasons.
So do I.
I want to see Jones or I want to see the Martian play. I just have a different feel. I get your point. You're not wrong. I just disagree.
All right. We had another trade today. Red Sox bring in Sonny Gray and $20 million for two minor leaguers to the Cardinals. Darren, any thoughts on this?
You know, I mean, two prospects, one of them, you know, an A-ball guy that's touching 100. The other guy, a cup of coffee in the league this year, gave up about 11 homers and 45 innings pitched. Sonny Gray, you know, has been great in every mid-market he's pitched in. When he came to New York, he wasn't great. It's $35 million. It's a pretty big number. It's only 1 year, though. The second year is a $30 million if he re-ups, or it's a $5 million buyout. It's a mutual option. Boston's going for it. They got young talent. They showed up. If Roman Anthony's healthy, he's a star. I mean, you know, Boston's getting a veteran pitcher. Just going to be, is Gray going to be able to handle the scrutiny in Boston better than he did in New York? That's really what the question is
come down to. How different than when we grew up, you know, Sonny Gray, as we're saying, you know, workhorse Sonny Gray. He made every start last year. Sure, 180 innings.
Yeah.
180 innings a year is a workhorse nowadays. Jeez,
it's a different world.
Darren, any other baseball points?
Just Hal talking a little bit, you know, saying he'd like to lower payroll if possible. Well, if you really want to lower payroll, there's really no chance of catching the Dodgers. Listen, it's his money. He spent $319 million last year. He can't really crush him on it. The bottom line is that this team, I don't really think we need much in the pitching department on the starting rotation. Obviously, we need some bullpen help. And you'd love to see, you know, I guess shoring up in certain spots. I mean, McMahon's fine, I guess, if you want to just sit there and have a glove and a guy that's going to hit 220 and hit maybe 18 homers. But if we can upgrade third base, I think that's really – I'd rather see some money spent. Just one man's opinion, but they got to upgrade this bullpen. Devin Williams is hinted toward the Dodgers, which, you know, God forbid, he'll just come out there, have a 1.33 ERA for the season after struggling here. But, you know, listen, there's a lot that's going to happen over the next 3 months, and we're going to be all over it, everybody. December. We're going to be talking about this every week because we love baseball.
December winter meetings right around the corner.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun stuff.
All right, let's move to the NFL. Jets, Giants. So let's start with the Jets. Lost to the Ravens 23-10. Baltimore held the Jets just 10 points with a good defensive performance. The win pushed the Ravens over 500 for the first time this season. They're at 6-5. Jets at 2-9. Kev?
Yeah, another game where, you know, Jets showed up. They still played hard. They haven't quit on Aaron Glenn, that's for sure. You know, they outgained Baltimore 280 to 240. It was really two plays that really turned the game. Later was the Breece Hall fumble going in for a potential touchdown, which would have cut it to three. The other one was the Aaron Glenn going for it on 4th-and-2 from the 42. Don't know why he did it, but you've got to remember, where did he come from? Detroit. Where did he watch Dan Campbell do every game? Go for it 5 times on 4th down on 4th-and-2. At their own 42. I mean, that's what he's learned from. And, you know, I don't think it would have made that much of a difference. I think Baltimore would have won somehow, some way. You know, it is what it is. You know, you see some of the signs here. You know, Mechie looked good again. You know, maybe you found something as a throw-in, as a third wide receiver, fourth wide receiver. I mean, they still need another weapon opposite.
Yeah, but he's a good slot guy.
Yeah, Wilson, but he's still, you know, that slot guy that you need. Defense played pretty well, except for, you know, they had a couple of mistakes, a couple of third down penalties, especially Oliver and Adams both had third down penalties to extend drives. They just can't force takeaways. They've got no interceptions. Going into the day, they had, I was reading the stat, 39 pass breakups, which was 6th in the league. They're getting their hands on the ball. Not one of them deflects, and one of the teammates comes out with it. I mean, it's ridiculous. I've never seen anybody, any team, that can't pick off a pass, and they can't recover a fumble. I mean, fumbles are 50-50. The Jets have one fumble recovery and no picks. I mean, there's just no short fields, you know, unfortunately. You know, again, it's another week where teams out there, they're busting their ass. They tried. The defense didn't look that bad overall. And they lost a better team, just like they did last week against the Patriots. And that's going to be the story for the next few weeks when they face a good team. Darren?
My biggest takeaway from this game, besides the gut punch on the Breece Hall fumble, which he's just trying to do too much sometimes. And you know, he was trying to hold on to the ball. He got held up and stripped.
It was great.
What happens? Tackle. The fact that they don't get him the ball more in the screen game is a joke. The other thing I took from this game is that Baltimore was really not impressive at all.
No.
Baltimore did not impress me one way. Lamar either lost a burst or the Jets kind of had him kind of held, dead to rights a little bit. And the one thing we talked about earlier, the guys that have to be the playmakers, when they're on the field, the defense, you see the difference. You need it in the back. You need it in the back four now. But when you have Johnson and you have Quincy out there and you have McDonald out there and Sherwood's able to clean up tackles, suddenly you see a lot of the speed makes it a really different team out there. And it's kind of fun to watch. Offensively, again, you know, Tyrod at least gets the ball out on time. Justin runs. Neither one could do anything impressively. I saw a stat that Smith and Jigma has more receiving yards this season than Fields has passing yards. That was exciting. You know, if I stole that from you, Kev, I apologize. Nope. I don't know if you got to throw that, that out there. But, yeah, I mean, listen, Baltimore didn't impress me. I mean, listen, they might have played down to their opponent. They might have been looking forward to Cincinnati. I have no idea. But either way, home game, when they're fighting for first place and the Jets were as good as they were, they're just not as complete a team, especially not on the offensive side of the ball. G?
I agree with you, by the way. I think the Ravens just look off. Lamar definitely looks off. Either he's lost a step, he's hiding an injury. I don't know what it is, but he just does not look like the same guy at all.
I feel the same way.
No, right.
It's even Derrick Henry didn't knock you over this week.
I agree. And he scored.
Twice.
It's a little thing you're looking for. You know, Azaria Thomas. I thought he did a nice job out there in defense. You know, he's covering a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, who's not Hopkins like he used to be. But you're still talking an all-pro caliber wide receiver that, you know, Thomas is getting a lot of valuable playing time and probably some lessons covering a guy like Hopkins still.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what we're down to, looking at these young players.
Kev, they sold us on April, and we're all in.
Exactly, yeah.
We have no choice. They said April. April's going to be fun. Draft.
Yeah.
And me and Kevin said, okay, great.
Yay.
And then we sit there and root for our team to win. Then they lose. And then we realize, oh, it wasn't that big a deal that we won. Lost.
Right, just, exactly. Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
All right. We'll move over to the other New York team. Giants lose to the Lions 34-27 in overtime. Giants are at 2-10. Detroit erased a double digit deficit, forced to overtime with a Jake Bates 59 yard field goal. Then they sealed the win in overtime. Lions are at 7-4, still on the outside looking in. Darren?
Jameis. Come on. The touchdown catch with the stiff arm to get in? Was there anything more exciting the entire weekend than that Jameis touchdown? I don't think so.
Guys, I think the dance afterwards.
Kev, you're going to shoot me for saying this. But if we don't think that we have a pick where we're going to get a quarterback, I'd sign Jameis and let him start for me next year.
It'd be fun to watch
anyway, and it'll be fun to watch.
Just for the entertainment value.
I'd be watching 16 games and 17 games of Jameis, I'd be in my glory. They finally fired Shane Bowen, who again plays that soft zone to allow Detroit to come down there and tie the game. Then after the long break, it was like 13 actual minutes. Dexter Lawrence isn't on the field for the first play of overtime where Gibbs takes it to the house. How do you not have your best defensive player, interior defensive lineman in the game? I'm not saying he makes a tackle, but you assume he does. Giants were actually the better team all day. Detroit had a lot of problems, you know, getting drives going. Amon St. Brown was great, right? The loss of LaPorta seems to be a much bigger deal than I realized at the time. Because they don't have that guy that's getting open and making 20-yard plays. They have tight ends that are catching balls for 6 yards. But LaPorta was stretching the field a little bit. And that it takes away Jameson Williams because now you can back up. And now all of a sudden, there's not that underneath 15-yard out route guy that LaPorta was. And the other thing is Montgomery's really – it's not 1-on-1A anymore. This is clearly 1-2. This is clearly Gibbs is going to get – about 3/4 of the carries to Montgomery's 1/4. That's fine. It's the better way to go right now. He's the better player. But Detroit, once again, not impressive. I thought they were going to come out there and wipe the floor with the Giants. But the Jameis factor, Kev, kept them in it.
Hey, all right. What did you think of Kafka's decision not to kick the field goal up 3 when he had 4th and goal at the 6?
I would have kicked the field goal.
Me too.
I make him score the touchdown. That's what I do. But again, I'm an idiot in this league because everybody has to go. Everybody has to go for everything at all times.
Points, Kev. Put the points on the board.
We're going to get to this game in a second. But last night, okay, I hate this. So Carolina kicks the extra point. San Francisco's offside or personal foul, whatever they did. They moved the ball to the 1. You know what I would do? And maybe I'm crazy. I would take the point. And do an onside kick from the 50.
Yeah,
that's what I would do, because they're starting at the 30 or 35 every time anyway. So why not let them start at the 40? I would sit there and declare, because it's so stupid now. No fakes.
Yeah.
And I would go up there and do my onside kick and take my point. I don't understand that, why everybody thinks that they have to go for it from the one, and then nobody runs it anyway. Everybody just sits there and tries to throw some stupid pass with all these hands around. Everything gets deflected. Anyway, I'm sorry. I know you get to the games. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Irks me.
Listen.
8 points off the board for no freaking reason.
I didn't like him not going for the field goal either, Kev. So
yeah, you've got to go up by a touchdown.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
All right. AFC playoff picture. The one seed at the moment, New England, they beat the Bengals 26-20. The two seed are the Broncos. The three seed is the Colts. Colts lost to the Chiefs 23-20 in overtime. Kansas City rallied from a 11-point fourth quarter deficit. Rashee Rice had 141 yards. The Chiefs are on the outside looking in, but at 6-5, they're about a game back. Darren?
Yeah, the only thing I'll say about this, did that remind you a little bit of Daniel Jones as a Giant? Great first half and nothing in the second half?
Yeah.
The one thing that kind of stood out to me in this game is that suddenly the Colts really didn't seem to they really couldn't do anything offensively against the Chiefs in the second half. Taylor was bottled up most of the game. You know, Chiefs, you know, listen, they couldn't score either. They had to settle for field goals. The one touchdown they had early got taken back on actually a bad call against the Chiefs. Doesn't happen too often. A face mask that wasn't. They pulled it off the board. But yeah, the Chiefs had trouble putting the ball in the end zone as well. It was like Lou Anarumo. He knows how to play against the Chiefs, and he does a good job.
Yep.
All right. Four seed of the Ravens. We talked about them. They beat the Jets. The five seed is the Chargers. They're at 7-4. The sixth seed is Jacksonville. They beat the Cardinals 27-24 in overtime. They're showing some resilience at 7-4. I'll give them that. And then at the moment, the seventh seed are the Bills. The eighth seed right behind them are the Texans. I'm going to talk right about that game. So the Texans beat the Bills on Thursday night. Houston's defense had 8 sacks and 3 turnovers against Josh Allen. Davis Mills played well. I mean, he played really well. Buffalo got the loss. The Texans got the win to stay in the picture. And before I go to you, Darren, the other team that's still in the hunt are the Steelers at 6-5, and they lost to the Bears this week. So you got 7 in and 3 on the outside looking in the Steelers, Texans, and Chiefs. Darren, Texans, Bills.
Well, yeah, just the – I was confused on a couple of play calls where they had 3rd and 4th and short, and they were not rolling Allen out. One in particular, they gave it on a 4th down. They gave it a cook up the middle. I don't know why. Against the Jets, all they would do is roll out against us, and he would just run over 3 people and get the first down. It was almost like Buffalo didn't manage to coach to win. It was a very strange game by Buffalo. Allen looked lost all game. He looked confused out there. And, you know, Houston, despite having all those sacks and all those pressures, they only won by 4 because their offense doesn't really have much. Mills played fine. He's 3-0, and now Stroud's going to be back, and now they have to make a decision in Houston because Stroud wasn't playing as well, but you got to assume they're going back to Stroud. But it's, you know, now Buffalo does not have the tiebreaker against the Texans. So a bunch of interesting things right now to think of, you know, Pittsburgh out, the Chiefs are out, Buffalo on the cusp, Baltimore on the cusp. A lot of the teams you expect to kind of make the play, maybe not Pittsburgh as much. A lot of teams, though, you expect to make the playoffs, even Houston, really aren't in right now. So it's a little crazy in the AFC.
Yep.
All right. The only other AFC note I just want to throw out there is Shedeur Sanders won his debut start against the Raiders. Let's not take it for any more than that. It is the Raiders.
The only thing I'll say is the kid's got to learn be a little humble. He's talking like he listen, his touchdown pass was a screen. It was like the field pass the week before. It was a screen pass where the running back did all the work. Yeah. He's acting like he did something special out there.
Agreed.
One of the funniest things, though, is he made a big, nice pass to Judy. Jerry Judy's running like he's got nobody behind him. He stands there like he's going to make a move, and he gets stripped.
Yeah, it was horrible. The Cleveland Browns
might be more tormented than the New York Jets. I don't know if they are. It's close.
All right, NFC playoff picture. We'll start at the top. So the first seed right now are the Rams. They're at 8-2. They beat the Bucs 23-17. The Bucks are the four seed still at the moment at 6-4. Baker Mayfield was under pressure, got injured. They say he's going to be playing, so we'll see. They're the one seed. The two seed is the Eagles.
You just had the score wrong. That game was 34-7, G. That was not close. That wasn't 23-17.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The Rams wiped the floor with Tampa.
You're right. That was a bad one.
You know, you look at that game, and you know they sacked Mayfield twice. It sure seemed like a hell of a lot more than two times.
I mean,
they were all over Baker.
And to be honest, Tampa's defense had no answers for Stafford. Stafford just going up and down the field. Right now, he's just he's the best player in the NFL right now.
Agreed. The two seed at the moment is the Eagles. They're at 8-3. They lost to the Cowboys 24-21. Prescott rallied the Cowboys from 21 down for the win.
I mean, it's amazing that I've become to hate the Eagles so much. I was actually rooting for Dallas in that comeback.
Me too. I like Dak more than Jalen.
That's what's Jalen. Sirianni is just that stupid tush push and just the whole Eagles thing. Just, I don't know, I'm just.
Well, 2 years ago when I said I hated Sirianni, you were like, I kind of like him. Now look at you.
Yep.
listen, Dallas blew opportunity after opportunity early, and they still
managed
a way to come back and win this game. CeeDee Lamb dropped like 37 passes. He looked like he didn't know what he was doing out there. Pickens has become like a model citizen and great player out there. He's become a difference maker, and Dallas looks pretty good right now. Dallas versus Kansas City on Thursday is big. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Will they get Pickens for a third rounder from the Pittsburgh? He's got more or almost as many yards as the entire Steeler wide receiver room.
Yeah.
Yep, he's a stud.
What a trade that turned out to be.
No doubt about it, pal.
I wonder how much of that was also, though, that when the defense is taking over, they're watching Lamb a lot and not picking. No doubt about it. All right. The three seed at the moment is the Chicago Bears, Kev. They're at 8-3. They beat the Steelers 31-28. They keep getting these wins. Mason Rudolph kept the Steelers close, but the Bears' late surge extended their win streak. So
they just find ways to pull out wins right now. They took advantage of what was their, you know, weaker part of the schedule. Now it gets tough the rest of the way. The last are just brutal.
Kev, is this my Commanders from last year? That's what it is.
Maybe. Come on, they got to do this. They were my playoff team. They were my upset playoff team. Come on.
All right. The four seed is the Bucks. We talked about them a couple of minutes ago. The five seed is the Seahawks. They beat the Titans 30-24. The six seed right now is Green Bay. They beat the Vikings 23-6. Micah Parsons had two sacks. Minnesota with McCarthy still looks out of rhythm. McCarthy is playing like a rookie, to be honest. That's what he looked like. Darren?
I was going
to
say, six starts, he just does not look like he has any clue out there right now. And the question marks we all had coming out of Michigan where he wasn't asked to do anything, now he's got to become a quarterback. And you know, what was the first or second game of the season? Leads to fourth quarter comeback. Does the same thing again last week against the Bears. So you feel like he's got a clutch bone to him in a certain way. But we got to see him be competitive for three quarters. He's got to start getting a little bit more consistent.
I mean, I'm sure, Darren, I always think of J.J. McCarthy and think 23 consecutive handoffs against Ohio State in the second half.
Why didn't he throw? Because he didn't have to.
Yeah.
And San Francisco is the seventh seed. We talked about them a couple of minutes before they beat Carolina.
Man, so are they starting to get healthy? That's a scary team.
Purdy is back. You're right.
Well, Heinle Webb, I mean, that game last night was tough to watch with the interceptions back and forth. It was just, oof.
I'm not sold on the 49er defense, though. Those injuries are going to be too much for them to overcome against good teams, but we'll see. I mean, I think that right now they've been getting, you know, they're not getting lucky, but, you know, they've been playing teams close and finding a way to win. Last night they tried to give the game to Carolina. Carolina just said, I don't want it.
Yeah.
And then they gave the point back.
So those are the seven playoff teams on the hunt looking from outside looking in are the Lions, the Panthers, the Cowboys, the Falcons are still hanging around even though
they're the Jets this week, so they're feeling good about themselves.
And that's the NFL for the moment. Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, we got Green Bay at Detroit, Kansas City at Dallas, Cincinnati at Baltimore. Rumored to be the return of Joe Burrow. And then Friday, Chicago at Philly. So that's your Black Friday game. Then we get into Sunday. Jets will host Atlanta. excuse me. Other than that, Giants on Monday night at New England. Any
Texas,
other?
Colts and Bill Steelers are the two biggies to me.
That's the one.
Yep.
And the thing is that we have all three games, especially if Joe Cool plays on Sunday, Thursday night, are really, really good Thanksgiving Day games. Chiefs and the Cowboys are both fighting to try to get into the playoffs. Green Bay and Detroit. Detroit's fighting to get back in there. Green Bay's trying to hold them off. If Joe Cool plays, that's great. Then you get the Bears-Eagles, which are two teams that are in the playoffs right now currently, and I think they'd match up currently, right, in the first round of the NFC, in the second round of the NFC playoffs if it all worked out.
Yep.
So four of the out of the six best games, I think the first four are probably up there. Yeah. Bill Steelers, you know, listen, you expect the Bills to win, but it's a road game in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
And you don't know what's going to happen there in that respect. And Josh hasn't looked great the last couple of weeks. And if the Steelers have beat the Bills in this one, wow, the Bills would be on the outside looking at them with the Chiefs. Yeah. And then you have the Texans and the Colts.
And where that's
One loss by the Colts last week, and all of a sudden now you're saying, are they going to be able to hold on to this division with Jacksonville and Houston down their throat? So, a lot going on there.
I don't think any of us thought we'd have three teams from the AFC South hunting around for playoff pictures right now. So,
well, they get to beat Houston twice.
That's it for NFL. Let's move to some college. Darren?
Do you want to do your bets or not this week?
No. We'll do picks at the end.
Good enough. There's no King's Ransom bets this week. And
there's no King's Ransom bets, and that's coming off two of the three wins this week. So
there you go. Okay, college football, Kev. Here we are. Bye-bye, USC. Bye-bye, Georgia Tech. These two Georgia Tech fell behind 28-0 real quick. Yeah. Kind of got it back to 28-14, but close. And the guy I love, Haynes King, throws the pick six. And that was that. I mean, they just couldn't get back into it. USC battled with Oregon, but Oregon was – you know, just always kept them at arm's length, I thought. I didn't think it was a highly competitive game. I thought Oregon was just a little bit better than USC was in that one.
Yep, no doubt about it.
So now we get to the SEC. Let's start with the big dog, Kev, right? So, you know, A&M is A&M. They played nobody and they won. Played a 1-10 Samford team. That's exciting.
Yep.
You got Ole Miss who, you know,
had a bye.
Safe. Yeah, had a bye. You have Georgia. You know, who has it was supposed to be a big one this week against Georgia Tech, but now you don't think Georgia Tech can stop them. So we'll see what happens there. Didn't think that last year either. And the game went to how many overtimes or whatever it was. That was a really intense game. Oklahoma, you know, those are the four teams that look like they're definitely in, with Alabama looking good as well. Looks like right now the SEC with five, Kev. I don't know. You feeling the same way?
Yeah, right now, it's five.
Vandy fighting to try to get in, but they're 14th right now, so they're going to need some help.
Vandy needs the upsets. They desperately need to win at Tennessee, who you know, is still top 25 in the latest rankings.
19 in the latest ratings,
19th. You know, the SEC's got 8 of the top 20. You know, like I said, they need another great win at Tennessee and then hope for some mayhem in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it looks like this week, okay? So on Friday at noon, you know, you got the Ole Miss-Mississippi State game. Ole Miss might be able to afford a loss, but you don't want to take the chance. Then you go on Saturday, you got Vandy at Tennessee. This is a big matchup. This is probably the most intense this matchup's ever been, where both teams are ranked. That doesn't happen very often. That's 3:30 on Saturday. You get Georgia Tech also Friday on ABC 3:30. So that's a game where Georgia probably could afford the loss and be okay. You think that they're going to get in?
For you.
Alabama at Auburn. Alabama's 10, right? So they can't afford a loss in the Iron Bowl.
Nope.
That's Saturday night on ABC. That's a big one. LSU, Oklahoma. You'd think Oklahoma would win this one easy, but if they lost this game, they're out. I don't think they hang on with that third loss, especially a home loss to LSU. I don't think it does it for them.
Yeah.
And then in the big one, Texas A&M can lose. At Texas, Texas, I don't think, has a chance of getting in anyway. Too many teams to pass, in my opinion.
Yep.
Okay.
So the only thing with Oklahoma is that, yeah, it's the third loss, but you still got wins. You know, if it comes down to that, Michigan at Tennessee, at Alabama, and Missouri. Still a lot of good wins to hang your hat on. It's going to be real tight.
I get it. You also got beat up badly by Texas. And, I mean, you scored 6 points. And, you know, you might be looking at a one or two loss team in another conference that takes the spot.
Yeah, so I mean, you still got ACC and Group of Five to loop ahead of them to fit in there, so you can't get down below 10, and they're starting off at 8, so not much room.
Gino?
All right, so ACC, we'll say, is the 11th seed, and the American Conference, for the moment, is the 12th seed. Yep. We got the other 10 teams at the moment, right? Anybody else outside those 10 that can get in?
Michigan beats Ohio State. Yeah. They're not a lock to get to the Big Ten championship game. He's going to the Big Ten next, right?
Well, we'll just finish off on the SEC.
All right, go ahead.
Championship game, Texas A&M winning their in. Alabama winning their in.
Yep.
Georgia needs either Alabama or Texas A&M to lose, assuming – well, that's right. They're done with their conference, so it doesn't matter.
Yep.
So this Georgia Tech is really meaningless game for them. Ole Miss needs to beat Mississippi State and Texas A&M and Alabama to lose.
Hard to imagine. Both. It's not. They're both on the road. The SEC, all the big teams are playing on the road this week, except for Oklahoma.
Yep.
Everybody else is a road game. So anything can happen in a conference game. The Big Ten, Ohio State, and Indiana are in. Looks like they'll probably play in the final unless Ohio State loses at Michigan. Indiana plays a Purdue team they should beat. That's kind of what it comes down to. Oregon goes to Washington. Tough game. Now, Oregon gets in. If they beat Washington and Ohio State or Indiana lose.
Oregon beat Washington and Michigan win.
And Ohio State. Indiana, they can't pass Indiana. Indiana beat them head-to-head. My mistake.
Indiana beat them head-to-head. Michigan needs to beat Ohio State and have Oregon or Indiana lose.
Yeah, but that's
– it really comes down to tiebreaker.
I think Indiana's unlikely. But Oregon has a shot.
They're 4 touchdown favorites against Purdue, so they should win that one.
It's a road game, though. Playing for the old Oaken Bucket, Gino. You know how that is.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing's got to be the Michigan-Ohio State. Michigan's won the last four.
Yep.
Let's see if Ohio State can break that this year or not.
And prior to that, they had the 2020, the game was canceled, and Ohio State had won 8 in a row prior to that. So it's been a streaky series overall.
Oregon, with their win, moves up to 6 in the CFP ahead of Ole Miss. Any problem with that?
Yeah, I didn't think Oregon – I don't think Oregon's as good as Ole Miss is right now.
You know, Dan Lanning's talking, we didn't play cupcakes like the SEC. Oregon's the record that of the teams they've beaten, 44-54.
Kev, stop being the apologist for the freaking SEC. Your team didn't get anywhere. You're lucky if you win the Palmetto Bowl this week. Take it easy.
I'm not an apologist. I'm just a SEC biased.
Yeah, listen, it's a joke that A&M's playing Samford. It's a joke that Eastern Illinois is playing in a big game last week. It's a joke for all that in the SEC. You can say what you want. That buyout game, the second to last week of the season, is a joke. They shouldn't be doing it.
They do it now instead of at the beginning of the season.
Time
out. So what is the reason why they all played cupcake games this week?
The SEC's always done something interesting. They've always played them late in the season. I don't know why.
It'll probably change. I think they're going to 9 games next year, so that'll change.
That's what they say. But
because I looked at the schedule and I was like, "What the hell is all this garbage?"
Yeah, it's just not good. It's just not good football at a time where we want to watch good football. Play the crappy football early when nobody's into it yet. Don't do it now. It's actually a bad look for the SEC. In my opinion, people say it's important. I disagree.
They're all getting their bye week so that they can rest up for their rivalry.
I get it, but nobody wants to see.
It makes for bad football.
Nobody wants to watch a 1-10 FCS Samford team play Texas A&M. Nobody needs to see that game.
Unless you're rooting for South Carolina to hang 50 on Coastal Carolina.
You know, I mean, that's it. Even when you have no chance of being bowl eligible. But we'll move on from that. The Big 12, it's really down to 3 teams, and it's really down to 2. Yep. It's BYU and Texas Tech. If they both hold serve, BYU hosts UCF. They're a 17.5-point favorite. Texas Tech is a big favorite at West Virginia as well. Utah would need help. They have to beat Kansas, and they need and they need losses, and it's a little bit more hectic for them. Looks like it's going to be BYU, who's still on the outside looking in, by the way, despite only having the one loss to Texas Tech, against Texas Tech.
Yeah, Utah needs a four-way tie with Arizona State winning, Texas Tech losing, or three-way tie. BYU would have to win. Arizona yep. State's technically still alive. They have to beat Arizona and BYU loss, or Texas Tech and Utah losses. So, again, they need to get into the
four-way tie.
Arizona State
even favored at home against Arizona this week.
You know, they've done a good job of staying alive with Jeff Sims backing up. You know, he's been in for Sam Leavitt the last few weeks. He's 3-1. He was a starting quarterback for Georgia Tech each year from 2020 to 2022. Oh, never won more than three games in a year. Dillingham there in Arizona State's a good quarterback.
He's a good coach. Until somebody pays him.
So I'm going back to my original question. I know who the top 10 are right now, who for right now are in. I know you got an ACC winner and, for the moment, an American Conference winner in Tulane that's in. Other than those 10.
Michigan, BYU.
I'll give them to you. So BYU has a shot.
They do. Well, yeah. To be honest, BYU will have to beat Texas Tech in the title game, and Texas Tech will get the at-large.
Utah have a shot.
I don't think so.
They need Texas Tech or BYU to lose.
Okay, Vandy?
Vandy has a shot because they're playing Tennessee. If they win that game and there's a little bit of mayhem, Alabama loses to Auburn, say.
Okay.
Suddenly they would have some consideration, but they'll also lead Utah to lose and Miami to lose.
Okay, Michigan?
Michigan has to beat Ohio State and they'll be considered. They'll leapfrog teams.
Okay. Now, after that, Texas?
No.
Okay, so
you skip Miami, Gino. You skipped them.
It's the same with the four conferences so far.
Right. I didn't skip them. I thought you were going by ranking.
I thought you were going by ranking.
No, because what I said was you got your 10, and then you got an ACC champ, and then the American champ as the 11-12 seeds.
Yeah, but so Miami can't be the ACC champ. Well, they can be, but they can be.
Right. But what I'm saying really is hard. other than those two, is there anybody else? So the other teams that are in like the top 20 right now. Tennessee is out. Texas is out.
Yep.
Right? The other teams that lost, they're out. So that's basically – so if I'm watching, those 10, and then I'm watching BYU, Vandy, and Michigan.
And Miami.
Right? No, wait. Now we get to the ACC. So at the moment, Miami is the leader. Am I watching for anyone else behind it?
Here's the thing. Miami has a chance of not playing in the title game, G. They are not going to make it. So, therefore, you're watching them because they need to beat Pitt. Pitt needs to beat them. That's a big game because the loser is definitely out. The winner still is breathing because Miami did beat Notre Dame head-to-head, though the committee chooses to ignore this fact.
Look, at least Miami's been closing the gap on Notre Dame every week at least.
Yeah, they're still three spots back, though.
Yep.
I'm going by the playoff rankings that came out like an hour and a half ago. That's what I'm going by. Miami is the 11 right now. So after Miami, I'm watching Pitt. Am I watching Virginia?
Yeah. They're in the ACC championship game.
Let me run through that, Gino. This might help you. Three-way tie right now. Virginia, SMU, Pitt, all 6-1 in conference. Virginia, if they beat Virginia Tech, they're in the championship game. SMU, if they beat Cal, they're in the championship game. Pitt has to win, and one of those two has to lose for them to make the championship game, and Pitt plays Miami. Miami needs to beat Pitt, and the Duke loss. Duke is still alive, even though they've got the 5-2 conference record, the 5-5 overall, or 6-5 overall, but they're still alive for the conference championship. So Miami needs Duke to lose or Virginia to lose with the tiebreakers. Okay. Duke, believe it or not, beat Wake and have 2 out of 3 Pitt, SMU, and Virginia lose, and they can play the championship game. Which, if Duke pulls out that miracle, gets into the championship game, and wins the conference, the ACC may not get a team in.
Understood.
That's very remote, in my opinion.
Very remote. I mean, it's like a 1% chance, or less than 1% chance, but it's still possible. Okay. Georgia Tech needs like 8 different things to happen.
Okay, so the last one is the 12 seed right now. At the moment is from the American Conference, Tulane. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Who am I watching other than Tulane for that spot.
Navy plays Thanksgiving night at Memphis. Navy wins, they go to the championship.
Yep.
Okay.
Tulane wins their game. They beat Charlotte, they go to the championship. North Texas needs one of them to lose. Six teams are still alive.
No, I know. That's exactly why
North Texas is the third one. I think that it gets East Carolina, right?
Then it gets into tiebreakers are just ridiculous after that.
All right, so
the way the American tiebreakers work is also they factor in the CFP standings, rankings, yep, too, in their tiebreakers. So,
my last question, do I have to watch the Sun Belt with James Madison?
Well,
have an outside shot.
Here's the outside shot. Their strength of schedule right now is 123. North Texas is 127.
Yep.
North Texas will probably pass them by beating either Tulane or Navy, but right now it's behind. So James Madison, and if Duke happens to pull off the miracle of miracles that Kev mentioned, then James Madison would be ahead of Duke. Yep. So they could get that spot. The odds of James Madison getting in, though, the ratings show them as, I think, 21, is very remote, though.
Okay.
That was so helpful.
You have no idea, you two. That was so helpful. You have no idea. I have a clear goal because, listen.
Well, thank you.
I can look at the rankings that come out. I see them. I saw them. I looked at them. I wrote them down. I know who's where. But at the end of the day, after those 10, after at the moment, an ACC at the 11 and the American at the 12, who else am I really watching? And it basically comes down to BYU, Vandy, and Michigan for those other spots. Yeah. That's it, basically.
The problem is
that's what I'm watching.
I mean, one of the big things is ACC. Miami's the best team in the conference. Talent-wise, on the field, I think Miami wins most of the time. But they've got two big losses, close, real close both games, Louisville and SMU.
Gotcha. Okay. All righty.
Okay. Just a couple quick things for best nicknames. Oh, I'm sorry, Kev. You had one more thing?
I was going to say two more things. One, and that's today also, UNT, North Texas, their coach, Eric Morris, was just hired by Oklahoma State. He will finish the season with North Texas. But, you want to play with this guy anymore?
Well, the biggest problem that happens in college football is the coaches leave whenever they want. The players stop playing. We had a guy at Miami of Ohio. They're fighting for a conference, and he basically decides that he's going to sit out the last three games of the regular season and prepare for the NFL. I mean, you have the transfer portal goes under in the playoff. They do everything wrong in this in this sport. You can't make it up. They do everything wrong in this sport. They try as hard as they can to screw it up.
And just some of the numbers from Notre Dame, Syracuse, 70-7, thanks to a late touchdown by Syracuse. First time for Notre Dame scoring 70 since they put up 73 versus Haskell in 1932.
Wow.
First time Syracuse gave up 70 since 91. I'm not talking 1991. I'm talking 1891 when they gave up 75 to Union College. Notre Dame led 21-0 before the offense took the field. A pick six, a block punt for a touchdown, and another pick six. 21-0 without running an offensive play. They wound up with more points, 70, than passing yards, 67. So they definitely didn't run up the score. Jeremiah Love, 8 carries, 171 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
Wow.
They just beat the crap out of them.
I mean, that was an incredible display. And Syracuse is just falling apart. And Jelly went out with the injury, and they haven't won a game. They haven't been close, really.
They play BC this week in the battle of two teams that don't beat anybody. So let's see what happens. Last thing on the college, just to go through the 10 best nicknames of games for this week, okay? Yes. We start with the Axe game. Paul Bunyan's Axe, Wisconsin at Minnesota, Gino.
Yep.
We go to the Egg Bowl. We got Ole Miss at Mississippi State. This has been around. It used to be a Thanksgiving night game. They've moved it to Friday. Saturday, I mean. Texas A&M, the Lone Star Showdown. Georgia Tech, one of my favorite ones. Clean old fashioned hate.
Yes. Great name.
The Iron Bowl, Alabama Auburn. The Bucket Game, the old Oaken Bucket. Indiana Purdue used to mean nothing. Now Indiana's pretty good. The Territorial Cup, Arizona versus Arizona State. Why the Territorial Cup? Because when they started playing, there was a territory. Arizona was not a state yet. The Governor's Cup, Kentucky versus Louisville. The Commonwealth Clash, Virginia versus Vatek. And the game, which is also in a couple other spots, but the game is Ohio State versus Michigan. The game was last week where Yale beat Harvard. Harvard was undefeated going into that game. And one of the most famous ones, I think, was 1971, where the best, I guess, newspaper header I've ever seen. Harvard beats Yale 29-29.
Yep.
Offensive tight end on that team, of the Harvard team, Tommy Lee Jones.
And Yale and Harvard, first year that the conference winner got the automatic bid to the FCS champion playoffs. They go more than – they've got, what, 24 teams, I think? But actually, both teams did make it this year into the playoffs.
No, it's going to be cool. I mean, listen, they're fun teams to watch. It was actually a game on ESPNU, and it was kind of an entertaining game to watch.
Yep.
I got a few buried treasures, and I kick it back to you for the picks, Gene. Does that work? All right. Going to start with football, and I mean football, okay? Alex Freeman scored his first goal for the U.S. national team against Uruguay earlier this month. His father, Antonio Freeman, Green Bay Packer wide receiver.
Wow.
Worst beat ever. There's two of them this week. This is the one I think might be the worst, though. Western Carolina playing, what was it against? UNC, I forget the team now. I'm blanking.
UNC Charlotte? No.
Oh, Asheville. UNC Asheville. Yeah. Western Carolina. The over is 152.5, Gino, okay? Western Carolina hits a three to win the game. The Asheville coach gets a double technical. The Western Carolina kid goes to the line, hits all four.
153. 0.9 seconds left.
Oh, my God.
I got two for hockey. You guys remember the old referee, Paul Stewart?
Yeah.
Yes.
He played. Well, when he was a player, his first game ever in 1979, he fought Terry O'Reilly, Stan Jonathan, and Al Secord. 27 minutes and a game misconduct in his first game ever played hockey with the Nordiques, became a referee. The second one's a little bit longer, but it's an interesting one. 1987, January 4, Canada versus Russia, I should say, in the final game of that little Russia Cup thing that they used to do. With 6:07 left in the second period, Pavel Kostichin, two-handed slash on Theo Fleury. They get into a fight, right? Sparks a fight all over the place. So Valery Zelopukhin's playing for Russia. He's getting his butt kicked because he has a separated shoulder. So Eugenie Davidoff jumps off the bench, and now all of a sudden it's a melee. The entire bench comes out. Both benches clear, right? The refs can't stop it. The officials can't stop it. So they walk off the ice and shut off the arena lights. They fight for 20 more minutes. But the most interesting thing about this, and the tournament was called off, and, you know, both teams were, you know, disqualified and all that stuff. And I forget who actually ended up winning. Only one guy didn't leave the bench until the coach Templeton yelled at him. Pierre Turgeon refused to leave the bench for the fight. One of his teammates, this guy Stesipas, is still pissed about it. Still brings it up. But that was a bench clearing ball with the arena lights going off. I thought that was only a miracle. I didn't know they ever did that. College football. This is more for this season, guys. Ohio State has run 695 total plays this season. They have gotten a first down or a touchdown on 326 of them. 47% of their plays have been a first down or a touchdown. Wow. I can't imagine that efficiency. Little baseball for Gino, and I'm doing it on purpose. Between 1979 and 2003, the Boston Red Sox had 1,550 stolen bases. Ricky Henderson had 1,406. So they did outsteal Ricky, but not by a lot. The NFL, quick one. DeBrickashaw Ferguson went back and got his nursing license.
Yep.
Basically, he had open heart surgery when he was 9. His mother was a nurse. His grandmother was a nurse. Now he's a registered nurse. Wanted to give back. I thought it was a pretty cool story. And the final one, wrestling again. I go back to Andre the Giant for you guys this time.
Of course.
The most beer consumed in a single sitting record belongs to Andre the Giant in 1976 at a six-hour drinking session in a pub in Pennsylvania. Go ahead.
119
12-ounce beers. Ah, a little over 11 gallons of beer in 6 hours. Oh, and those are my hidden treasures.
Oh, wow.
Now that back to you for some picks, I guess, pal.
Let's do college picks. Darren?
All right. The big one is – one we're all going to pick is this one, G. We're going to start with you here. The Big House, 107,601 plus. screaming Michiganders, as they're known as, watch the Scarlet and Gray from Ohio State invade against the Maize and Blue of Michigan. Michigan's won four in a row, as Kev pointed out. Ohio State had won eight in a row before that. Spread's 10 last I saw, unless you've seen something more updated.
10 is good.
10 is good. The over-under is 44.5. Gino, where are you going in this one?
Ohio State has held every opponent to 16 or less this year. Michigan relies on a young offense. Ohio State is stacked with veteran playmakers. Ohio State, you got a revenge factor going. They've lost four straight to Michigan. I think Ohio State wins this by 20. Give me Ohio State minus the 10. Kev?
They're coming into the big house. Michigan is defending their home turf here. They're going to make it five in a row. Michigan wins outright.
I'm going to split the difference. I think Michigan covers, and I love the under in this game. I think it's going to go under 44.5. First and foremost, that's my bigger bet. And I think that Michigan covers it. I think that this game ends up somewhere where Ohio State finds a way to squeak it out, but I think it's going to be like a 17-13 type of game.
Wow.
Gino, give me a second one, pal.
All right, second one. I'm going to the Egg Bowl. Ole Miss got one of the most explosive offenses. You got a struggling Mississippi State defense. They've allowed 40-plus in three of the last four losses. Give me Ole Miss to cover, minus 7. I don't know, 37-17. I can see them winning by 20. Give me Ole Miss, minus the points.
Kev?
Yeah, I like that pick there, G. I'm going to go with the Territory Cup. I'm going to take Arizona's a home dog. They were getting 1.5, what I saw. I'm going to take Arizona State getting 1.5 at home. They need the win to stay alive. Whatever long shot they have to win.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the Lone Star Showdown. I'm going to take Texas A&M to keep the undefeated season and beat Texas by a field goal. Last I saw, it was 2.5 as the spread.
2.5.
A&M's just a little bit better. I'm going to take A&M. G, give us your final one for the week.
I like A&M, by the way.
So
I'm going to the Iron Bowl.
Scares me to death now. Here we go.
I'm going to the Iron Bowl for my last one. Alabama needs to win to continue their playoff hopes. At Auburn is going to be an intense environment. They're playing at night. It's going to be hostile. It's going to be loud. But I think there's a talent gap which shows on the field. Give me Alabama to cover by 6. Kev?
Boy, I'm glad I had about 8 or 9 games written down here. I'm going to go with the ACC battle. I think Pitt shows up. They're getting 6.5. They're home. I think they give Miami a fight here. I'll take Pitt plus a 6.5. I think this comes down to a field goal either way.
Now, I might go against both of you, but I could, because I do like Auburn to cover it for some reason, and I do like Miami to pull away. But I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to take Washington plus 7 at home against Oregon to win outright.
I have that one too.
I've been talking all year about how hard it is to play in Seattle. Ohio State shut me up, but nobody else has. Washington is a Jekyll and Hyde team at home and on the road. I think Washington wins outright. I think that puts Oregon in peril when we go into next week. So I'm going to take the Washington Huskies. And that is our college picks. Now, G, let's go to the pros.
All right. So we are 53-55. After 12 weeks, this is week 13. We got to turn it around now. We're close enough to turn this positive. Darren's at 17-19. Kevin's 16-20. I'm at 20-16. I'm up 4 games right now, but that means nothing to me when, as a group, we have 53-55. I'm going to start it off. I'm going to take the Thursday game. I'm going to take Detroit minus the 2.5 at home against Green Bay. Listen, they didn't look great last week, but they got the win. I think they get the win here at home. I think Gibbs has a huge day against Green Bay. Give me Detroit minus 2.5 to start it off.
Where are you going next? Kev, okay.
I'm going to say on Thursday. I like the Lions also. I'm going to take the Bengals getting 7 at Baltimore. I think especially Baltimore did not look good last week. I think with Burrow, all signs point to him playing. Cincinnati can put up points. They're going to give up points. But I think 7 is just too many. I'll take the Bengals plus a 7.
I'm liking that.
Crossed out both of those two games now. I'm going to take the Colts laying 4.5 against Houston. I also like the under in this game at the 44.5. I think that the Colts find a way to rebound this week at home. I think that's also going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be something in that neighborhood of, you know, 23-10. I think they're going to control it, but keep it low. I'll take the Colts minus 4.5.
All right, my second pick. I'm going to Tennessee. I like Jacksonville here. I think they got something rolling here. I don't think it's pretty, but I think they get the job done. Minus 6.5 is a spread. It's a touchdown. Give me Jacksonville minus the 6.5 as my second game. Kev?
I think they've got the extra days here to recover from last Thursday's debacle. I don't know if it's going to be Mason Rudolph or if it's going to be Aaron Rodgers, but I think the Bills are going to play. We'll shut down the passing attack either way for Pittsburgh. I've got the Bills minus 3.5. I'll take Buffalo.
I'm going to go head-to-head with Kev. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I think that the 3.5, that extra half point, I'm going to take that. Boswell keeps them close. And I'll say that the Bills probably find a way to win by the field goal, but I'm going to root like my butt off for the Pittsburgh Steelers to win at home. Tomlin always makes the playoffs, so at least has a winning record. I say Pittsburgh finds a way to maybe even steal this one.
21-17 Bills, come on.
All right, my third game. I got to tell you, I didn't like a lot of other games on this schedule this week.
Well, you took my top two. You guys suck.
I contemplated taking San Francisco at Cleveland. I contemplated with the Rams. I keep going back and forth about Philly. But Philly on Friday plus minus 7 against Chicago, I'm not sure. I'm going to take San Francisco minus a 4.5. Kev's right. They got something going. They seem to get their offensive players back. McCaffrey's like playing like a house on fire right now. Give me San Francisco minus 4.5 as my third pick. Kevin?
I'm torn between two here. You know what? They keep finding ways to pulling out wins, keeping it close. I know it's a huge step up here this Friday, but they've got a chance to prove something to themselves. I've got the Bears plus a 7 at Philly.
It is 7, yes.
I'm taking Denver against your Commanders, laying 6.5. I have no faith in your Commanders. I'm taking Denver.
That's the other one, Darren.
That means we're all going to go 0-3. I think that Denver, I just think they're a little bit better, G. You know, right now, Washington,
they're a lot, right now, they're a lot better. They're not a little better.
I think they get to 10 wins. And that's my final pick.
All right, that's week 13 picks, NFL. Darren?
Anything else before we wrap up, boys?
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Exactly. Should we get into the NBA Cup standings here?
Maybe next week, Kevin. Maybe we'll get deep into it next week.
Does anybody in America care about the NBA Cup?
Besides you bringing it up, no. Nobody cares. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Kevin, here with Gino, talking about the wonderful, wild, the wacky world of sports. A wacky world where we do our show a day early so we can wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving and enjoy a happy Thanksgiving with our families as well. Please download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you like. We post a lot on social. Please like it. Please share it. If you don't like it, pretend you like it. Share it anyway. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.